studying the life of Jesus, we see that he exemplifies what then the Christian life should look like. He perfectly modeled how a Christian community should function like. And it's a Christian community that then builds what is known as a church. So it's you and me that have then subscribed to the faith that Jesus brought here on earth that then make up what is now known as a church. So the church is not the building. The church is you and me. The church is the people. You know, the people that then fill up that space that is then identified as a church in figurative sense. But then we see that there is so much to learn from he who then modeled how this community should look like. He who modeled how this community should then function like. And that is the life of Jesus, because there's so much to learn from the life of our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. I like to look at the church as a community that then bears so much responsibility, as it was indicated through the life of Jesus Christ, because then we saw how much work Jesus then put in his time here on earth in demonstrating how then the Christian life should then look like. And we see that whatever he did was directly standing out as a model to then how the church should function like, how the church should look like. You know, the way Jesus prayed is how then the church should pray. How Jesus, you know, cared for the poor is how then the church should care for the poor. How Jesus healed the sick is then how the church should care to heal the sick. Yeah, how Jesus then, you know, visited the sick is exactly how then the church should visit the sick. So everything that Jesus did was a model that then the present church should then emulate. And the church is the people, you and me, the people that have then subscribed to the teaching of Jesus, the people that have subscribed to the knowledge and to the standard that then Jesus Christ came to set here on earth, that we should going forward emulate. So the government does not bear the biggest social responsibility by design, and by what then Jesus did. Then we see that the social responsibility was not entirely in the hands of the government of the time then, because then we see Jesus Christ meeting some of these social needs. You see what I mean? And it's then exactly how the church should then function today, because the church bears the biggest social responsibility. It's not the government that is bearing the social responsibility. It's not the NGOs. It's not these charity organizations. It's not these youth movements that are bearing the biggest social responsibility, but then it's the church. And once the church understands that core, you're going to find that we are going to approach, you know, our Christian walk a little bit different, because then our responsibility is not just then to make the church better, but the responsibility of the church is then to make the social space better. So then we're going to have Christians, you know, staging up advocacy for this and that. We're going to see Christians taking up responsibility in these social spaces, you know, raising awareness on drug addiction, raising awareness on abortion, raising awareness on self, on same-sex marriage. You see what I mean? Because in the church, I've understood that they have a social responsibility that they have to respond to. When the church understands that they have this social responsibility to then look out for the dying world, the sick, the needy, and stuff like that. I've taken some good time to really just trying to understand, you know, the space of a broken heart. Actually, I intended to then point out the life of Jesus Christ and how then he lived and how he molded how then life should be like for one who has then subscribed to his teachings. So then with the intent to eventually get to this, because for some time now I've taken some keen interest in studying a space of a hurting heart. especially how then one will live life after after divorce, how then one would live life after the death of a loved one, how then one would live life, you know, after losing a job and whatnot. And the community, the church community, the people that are making up the church really need to be very deliberate, you know, really need to be very deliberate and a little bit more structured. Because then you see, if something is structured, it becomes easy to follow through, you know. But then if something is just left open without a structure, you have nothing to then reference to. You have nothing then to refer to, because it's just an open functionality. But then something that has a structure, something that has a strategy, you see that it becomes very easy to work with. So then if the church, the church community, the Christian community can then become a bit more deliberate in developing, you know, social change structures. You know, if the church community can then become deliberate in designing, you know, community outreach structures, I feel like the hurting spaces that a lot of people are living in are going to be, you know, eventually transformed into healed spaces. Because let's take for instance, someone loses their beloved, a father, a mother, a sister, a husband, you know, a child, and something like that. Of course, you find that the church community will be there during the process, you know, during the funeral processions and whatnot, to be there to render support at the church, funeral church service, burial. You know, these church folks will be there, basically just indicating their presence. Basically just showing their presence, like, you're not alone and we're here. But if then there was a structure, you'll find that the Christian community, because then remember what I said, the Christian community bears such a huge social responsibility. So you see that most times the defining moment of anybody that then goes through a painful moment is what happens when everybody leaves. That then becomes a defining moment. If someone is going through a divorce, you know, what then becomes a defining moment is when everybody is away. There's no family member, there's no friend. That then becomes the defining moment. But then if the church can then, the church, the Christian community, I use these words very selectively, the Christian community can have a deliberate structure that then attends to these people, you know, attends to their life after, you know, such grave circumstances. If the community can then have a structure of how then to, you know, emotionally, you know, spiritually, you know, socially care for these people, you will find that the sanity of these hurting people will be preserved. But then if the support that the church community or the Christian community can then only afford to render to these hurting people is only during these the moments of their hurt, which then translates to maybe the moment of their the funeral processions, you know, the day that the person dies, the following day, the church service, and then the burial. If that's the only space that then the church can deliberately render help, then we are finding that the sanity of these hurting people going forward is left vulnerable. I say this because I have had very interesting conversations with a lot of people that have gone through these hard times. You know, one thing that they actually openly tell me is, man, I feel this and that. I feel lost. I feel like there's nothing left for me to live for. I feel broken. I feel this and that. And I tell you the truth, they're in that space mostly alone. But come to think of it, if then there was a deliberate structure where then the Christian community, which then is bearing a very huge social responsibility, can then have these people sit in a certain space where then they have to learn how to, you know, live life after this grave circumstance, after this grave reality. A few, it would be a more bearable journey, because then they're not walking the journey alone. They're walking the journey with a community. A community that is an informed community. You know, a community that is then rendering social support. A community that is rendering spiritual support. You know, emotional support. And you see that the sanity of these hurting people is then preserved. It's that their sanity is not left vulnerable. Because then imagine if someone then has to be in a space where they're gonna have these big questions. Because I know most of the questions that actually come when you're in a space, when you're in a hurting space, are not questions that anybody can ask. And I look back at the time when I lost my sister. Man, I had the wildest question that I never thought my mind could ever generate. I had the biggest questions that I never thought my small mind could then generate. And I look back, if I stayed in that space where I was only releasing questions without finding answers, it is such a very dangerous place to be at. And taking for instance, if one stays then in that space for a long time, only having questions without receiving answers, then you'll find that The enemy then takes advantage of that moment, takes advantage of that space. That's why then you see, I say that what follows after everything is said and done then becomes a defining moment for a lot of people, for a lot of people. But if then there is a defined and a straight structure that is then attending to the emotional needs of these hurting people, I feel like it'll be a more bearable journey. It'll be a more safe space, because then it becomes a supported space. You're receiving emotional support. You're receiving spiritual support. You're receiving, you know, social support. And you'll find that then your journey to mourn your loved one, your journey to then navigate life after divorce, your journey to navigate life after losing a very good paying job becomes a moment of light. It doesn't send you in your dark spaces, but then because of the support that you're receiving from a structured community, you know, the support that you're receiving from, you know, an enlightened community, then enables you to process that life in a more positive light. But one thing that I've noticed about a lot of people that are actually subscribing to then the Christian faith or the Christian doctrine is how we are so quick to just say, you know, I pray that may God help you. You gotta learn to stay strong. You know, death is not something that you can stay strong about. You can remove that word strong. In and of yourself, you cannot stand strong. Divorce, whatever it is, in and of yourself, you cannot stand strong. Then the only person that can then help you to stay strong is God. In and of yourself, you cannot stay strong. It's a very painful space. It's a very deteriorating space. So you see that if then the community, the Christian community is operating under this structure, you find that the people are then deliberately rendering emotional and social help to the hurting people who avoid the use of such words, because then they're coming from a structured space. So this structured space is now where they have learned how to then bless people with their words. They have learned how to then bless people with their presence. But you find that there are people that are actually then just passionate, because then they want to follow the model that then Jesus showed us at the time that he was walking the earth. But then they're just, you know, passion does not exactly translate into knowing how. You know, there's always a moment to learn. there's always a moment to then understand. So you can have the passion to then bless people. But then if you don't know how, you find that your passion will not actually benefit the people that you want to help. Most times, it will only make the situation worse. And also because we know that then God is the one that helps us. God is the one that gives us the knowledge, the insight. It does not necessarily mean that you remove your participation, you remove your involvement, and then God then just turns into this robot. That's not what it means to then say is used of God. If you're going to believe that God is going to use you, it does not exactly mean that you're going to be robotic, or God is going to be robotic about it. He's going to use you, but then he also wants your participation. That's when the Bible says that then we are actually co-workers. So if we're then co-workers, God is expecting our participation, is expecting our involvement, you know, is expecting our engagement in his desire to then use us to be a channel of hope, a channel of love, you know, a channel of comfort. And I just hope and I trust that the then Christian community, the people that are then under this community, we take some time to then study the life of Jesus, who then modeled how then this community that we are under should then look like. We need to become a little bit more deliberate in reaching out to the world and raising awareness, because then our big responsibility is not to only make the church better, or to make the church, you know, let's just say to make the church better. Actually, our responsibility is not the church. Our responsibility is the world. That's what Jesus Christ has sent us into the world, to make disciples of all nations. So making disciples of all nations goes beyond just attending church on a Sunday and learn about the power of prayer and learn about the power of praying in tongues, and to only benefit us. You know, I love to look at the church as a life class, and I feel the church should then function more of that. The church should serve as a life class that is then unleashing, you know, world changes, that is then unleashing, you know, community transformers. You know, a church should be a place, a community. These Christian gatherings should then, you know, deliberately prepare us to make this world a better place. We need to have engagement meetings, you know, moments where we've got a plan and strategize, and now we are going to reach this social space. You know, we gotta have, you know, deliberate interactions, and now then to reach out to them that are hurting. You know, we need young people that are going to learn how to then reach out to the hurting people. You know, a community that is going to be positioned to deliberately, you know, share their life with them that are hurting. Them that have just lost their loved ones, then this community of young people are deliberately positioned to make sure that the people that are in this moment journey on well, you know, life after, you know, the death of their loved ones, you know, young people to help these hurting people to then remain sane, to remain stable, and to process, you know, the passing of their loved ones in a more positive light. Because I promise you, it's not an easy space, especially to walk it alone. You definitely need somebody to walk with you, and you want somebody to help you process the moment in a more positive light. Of course, we've got so many resources out there that are then quite necessary in helping, you know, hurting people and whatnot, but maybe we can't exactly bank our confidence on them, because maybe somebody might not just have the strength to actually endeavor to reach out to some of these resources, because they might just prefer to be in the moment where they can feel their feels, you know, But if then there is a human contact, a physical contact of somebody that is then constantly reaching out, catching up with them, and so let's catch up over coffee or something and just talk life, you know. I want to hear your thoughts, I want to hear your questions, you know, I want to hear what you've been thinking about, I want to hear how you're processing this, I want to hear how you're processing, you know, life now that this has happened. I want to know where you're standing with God. You know, do you have any questions for him? Do you have any questions about this and that? You know, I feel like when people are exposed to such an environment, then life going forward after the passing of a beloved one, or after a divorce or something, becomes a more bearable journey. It doesn't exactly take away the pain, but then it just helps you to process this pain in a more positive light. Like I said, I've had countless conversations with a lot of people how then they've just processed divorce, how they've processed the passing of their loved ones, you know, how they've processed, you know, a jobless life and stuff like that. And it's very clear to me that these are very critical moments, these are very critical spaces that then need a structured strategy to then reach out and help other people that are then walking these spaces. And I promise you, like I said in starting, the church, the Christian community, is bearing the biggest risk, social responsibility. The government is not bearing the biggest social responsibility. We should understand that these NGOs are not the bearers of the biggest social responsibility. You know, these NGOs, these movements, you know, they're not bearers of the greatest social responsibility, but it's the church. Because then we saw that it's exactly what Jesus did in his time on earth. He demonstrated his social responsibility, and he deliberately met some of these social demands, social needs during his time. And then we saw how he was able to greatly impact his space. So the hope and the trust that the church, the Christian community, would then become a little bit more deliberate in addressing some of these social needs, become a little bit more deliberate in raising awareness on certain things, because then we can't afford to just remain quiet about certain things and leave them as a responsibility of the non-organizations, you know, non-movements and whatnot. But it's about time that we need to then take up this responsibility and participate to make this world a colorful place, because it is our responsibility, and that's exactly what God is expecting of us. Because then we are subscribing to a transformational, you know, a structure that then Jesus was able to lay down before us even at the time that we walked the earth, and is expecting us to then fully subscribe to this model and make this world a better place.
Thank you for taking time to listen to this podcast. If you've not subscribed to the I Believe podcast, go to Apple Podcast, subscribe, rate, and leave a review.